I'm going to start off back in Psalms 119, the 119th Psalm. And I want to read verses 129 and 130 again. Psalms 119, verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, Henry Mahan wrote a couple of books that I have. And you may have them too. And the title of these books are With New Testament Eyes. Walter talked about this a little while ago. In these books, he writes from the Old Testament, about the Old Testament, from the perspective of knowing the New Testament, looking for Christ in the Old Testament and seeing him. In every sacrifice and offering and part of the law, a part of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ is seen. In every deliverance in the Old Testament from enemies, foreign and domestic, is shown a part of the deliverance that Jesus Christ has purchased and provided for his people. Christ is there in every type, every picture, and every prophecy. And if we don't see him, it's our fault, not God's and not Christ's. And this is what I see here in Psalms 129 through 135. Because the psalmist is clearly writing here of the power and glory of God in the work of Jesus Christ in his people. In his people. Now, I got a question to ask you. Well, I was going to ask Walter and Paul. Have you ever kicked yourself all the way home? And not and specifically, after preaching a message and then you're on your way home and you kick yourself all the way home. Usually it's because something I forgot to say or something that didn't occur to me to say, and sometimes because I think I said something wrong. Well, that happened to me last week as I was leaving. Now, it didn't happen to me while you were preaching. It didn't happen to me while Walter was preaching. But once I got in the truck and started to go home, I thought, why in the world did I not go there? I mean, it just hit me all of a sudden. And now that happens. And it happens maybe more often than you think. And usually I can say, okay, next time I'll do it, you know, or I'll do something else. But I'll scribble a note on my notes so that if I do ever preach this message again, I'll have it right there. But I couldn't get rid of it. It stuck with me for days. And I kept thinking about it and I kept coming back to it. And I thought of a scripture and it just would not go away. And it's in the New Testament. And that's where I'm going to go, but still referencing Psalms 119 verses 130 to 32 or 129 to 135. Excuse me. Because I want to compare that Old Testament proclamation and prophecy of what Christ was doing, what Christ is doing, what Christ shall do, with the New Testament writing of the Apostle Paul. And I am of the opinion this is a good example of what the psalmist was writing. So if you would, now turn to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. And I want to begin reading in verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And I'm going to stop right there. Paul starts this out saying, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, Paul is writing here to the saints that are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. And folks, if you believe Christ, you qualify. If you believe Christ, now you qualify. These words are to us as well as unto Ephesus. And here's two things I want to tell you where he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So I want to tell you two things about election. I'm not going to go into it in any great detail, but here's two things about it. Number one thing, the Apostle Paul knows the election of God. He knows about it. And number two, the election of God is the election of grace. What's that mean? Well, Paul wrote it in Romans 11. I'm not going to go into it, like I said, in any great detail. But he says, if it's of grace, it is not of, and I'm going to be a little more specific here, it's not of your works. Understand? There's works in grace, but it's not yours. It's the works of Christ. Just like salvation's free, but somebody else paid for it. Grace is free to me and to you if you believe Jesus Christ, but it wasn't free. And that's why it's free. And that's why there's no works, because it's all about the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ because of his works. And like I said, Paul knows the election of God. And here it is. Grace is no works. No works of man. And works is no grace. If it's of your works, it can't be grace. Now that sort of seems pretty simple. And it is in principle. You got works over here. You got grace over here. And never the twain shall meet. That's what the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 11. But there are people all over this planet trying to mix them together. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yet Paul writes here, and here's the thing. He writes to the church that is in God the Father, and this church that is in Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election. And then he tells us how. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Now let me read Psalm 119 and 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. I'm telling you, folks, Paul's writing about the same thing the psalmist is writing about. The psalmist is plainly writing of the work of God in the elect. It's plain in Scripture. Very plain in Scripture. Not everyone in the presence of a gospel message believes. I mean, that's just the truth of God in Christ. That's the truth of God in this book. Hebrews 4 and 2, Paul wrote it this way. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And Paul's writing there about the people in the Old Testament. And he's writing, though, about the people in the Old Testament who did not have faith. They did not believe. We who believe, and I'm going to include myself in that we who believe by faith do enter into his rest. And the psalmist says, the entrance of thy words gives light and understanding. Christ himself told us in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, what? To every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What? But he that believeth not shall be damned. You can't get any more simple than that, folks. Not everyone believes the gospel. Even when it's the true gospel, boiled down, it's preached by the apostles. How many cities did Paul go into and preach the pure gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, and they took up stones to stone him? Or he said he got stripes from the rod. 5 times was hit with 40 stripes minus one, 39 stripes. And he preached the same gospel there that he did everywhere else. Not everyone believes the gospel. What is this? What did Christ say? John 17 and verse 2. Well, here, read verse 1, I can't help it. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Then he says this, as thou, Father, hast given him power over all flesh. He's given Jesus Christ power over all flesh. Why? That he should give eternal life to as many as thou, the Father, has given him, the Son. And people wonder why we say election's everywhere in the Bible. The Father has given some to the Son. And the Son's going to give them life. He got power over all flesh, but he only gives life to some. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, who? To every creature. Not everyone believes. And the gospel is to be preached. The gospel is necessary. Why? Because Jesus Christ said it was necessary. Jesus Christ said so. Now let me be extremely clear here. The gospel of Jesus Christ shall be heard by every one of God's elect. Why is that? Because Christ said so. Christ promised it so. Christ has promised to send his word. Christ has promised to send his men, his preachers. And Christ has promised that those who were dead in trespasses and sins, those who had no light and no life in them, shall hear his voice. And those that hear shall live. Shall live. What am I saying? I'm saying the gospel of Jesus Christ has power. But that power is not in the preacher. It's in Jesus Christ. I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. Rolf Barnard said it to Henry Mahan. If my voice is the only voice you hear, nothing of any eternal significance will happen. You understand what he's saying? Excuse me. I can tell you you're a sinner. I can tell anyone they're a sinner. They commit sin. They live in sin. And somebody might say, well, yeah, I guess you're right about that, and go on their way. But if you hear God's voice telling you you're a sinner, you're going to go away saying, woe is me. If you see him, you're going to go away knowing you're a sinner and say, woe is me. My voice can't help you. Ah, but the entrance of thy words, what? Are light. Giveth light and giveth understanding. And the understanding is this. The power is of God. The power is of Jesus Christ, even to believe him. See, this is, you know, in the Armenian churches I had been in times past, where probably I am not welcome now. It's okay. I don't mind. They think every man has faith and you have to believe. That's your part. Well, you're going to believe. It's true. But here's what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. That the God, oh, this is in Ephesians 1 and verses 17 to 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. How do we believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Our gospel came to you not in word only. No, unto you the gospel came in power, in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. The entrance of God's words give light and give understanding. The entrance of God's words come in the power of Christ Jesus by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Now there are those to whom the gospel comes in word only. It doesn't come in power. It doesn't come in the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't come in much assurance. I know of people who have given their testimony, and I've heard it, where the fact they sat in a grace church hearing the gospel. And there was one fellow Henry told about that. He was there and he used to count the ceiling tiles. He went to church because he was a school teacher and he thought school teachers ought to go to church. And he would go there while Henry was preaching and count the tiles in the ceilings. Now, if you've ever been in that church, you understand those ceiling tiles are like 3 foot by 3 foot. And I recognize what he was talking about, because if you got them little tiles, you can't count them things. But these were big ones. But one day, he heard the message. Now, I know Henry Mahan's ministry well enough. I've got his tapes, his recordings, to where I know Henry preached the gospel all the time. But this time, that man heard it. Understand? It's not. I can't say there's no hope for anybody, because there's hope for everybody. If Christ gives you life, gives you light, and gives you understanding, you're going to have life and light, and you're going to understand. And not until. And that's just the way it is. Our gospel came not to you in word only. To these Ephesian believers, it came in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And that's the way the gospel comes. To believers, Because here, Jesus Christ gave us the parable himself. There are wayside hearers. There are those on the stony ground who hear. There are those on the thorny ground who hear. But the word only profits those that are of good ground, ready to receive, ready to be a cornfield, ready to be planted, ready for the plant to come up and bud and come forth and bring forth much fruit. Because the wayside hearers, the stony ground hearers, and the thorny ground hearers, they do not enter into his rest. Only those of the good ground. And then Paul says the result of this. The gospel coming in power, in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. He says this, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Psalms 119 and 131 puts it this way. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. The entrance of his words has an effect on the one that he enters. The gospel of Christ, when it comes in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, has an effect on believers. And ye became followers of us and the Lord. They long for Christ's commandments. They long for Christ's gospel. Because the believer wants the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pants after them. What's that mean? The believer joys in the gospel being preached. The believer rejoices in the gospel of God's dear Son. Sometimes the believer will drive for hours just to be in a meeting to hear God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, preached and proclaimed. Some believers may drive an hour every Sunday just to get to church or more. What did Christ say? My sheep. What? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What does this mean? I'm going to tell you this. The entrance of thy words never stops. The entrance of thy words give light and understanding, and that never stops. Why? My sheep hear my voice. He didn't say my sheep heard my voice. He says my sheep hear my voice. Present tense. And they follow me. And he already told us why they follow me. I know them. I know them. You may not know them, I may not know them, but he knows them. He knows them, and they follow him. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Excuse me. When the words of the Lord make entrance into you, it'll leak out on you. I early say it'll leak out on you. It'll show up. And guess what? You will walk. You will walk. You won't walk perfectly. You won't walk without stumbling. But you will, and I'll use this word, consistently walk. Your steps may wander, but Christ will bring you back to his path. He'll bring you back to exactly where he wants you to be. He'll put you in his body fitted for the place that he put you. Psalms 37 and 23 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And, this is the good part, and he delighteth in them. He delighteth in his way. See, not only are your steps ordered by the Lord, the believer loves to have it so. Understand, if you don't like God being in charge, you don't know God. That's just all there is. Because he's going to be in charge whether you like it or not, so you might as well get used to it. But I like it. I want my steps to be ordered by the Lord. I want to walk in his paths. And I know this, he's going to have to make me to walk in his paths. It's not something I would do naturally. Matter of fact, it's about one of the most unnatural things I ever do, is to walk uprightly and to walk rightly. I want to, but I'm not good at it. The believer delights in God's way. You know why? Because God's way is Christ, Jesus the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What? No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what he said. And that's what he meant. No one comes to the Father but by me. And here, I do want to point this out, because it just kind of hit me as I was looking at it. I never paid a whole lot of attention to this, and I don't know how many times I've read this. So that ye were in samples to all that believe. You understand what people in churches right now are being told? Let your little light shine. So that let people see Jesus in you. No, that's not what Paul says here. You're an ensample to believers. You're not an ensample to the world. You understand? You're not an ensample to the world. And Paul's not telling you to be one. Because all that's going to get you is somebody trying to wrap a golf club around you, Walter. It's going to get you in a fight. You're an ensample to believers. The world may think that you're crazy, deluded, or brain damaged. But that's okay too. Believers know Christ. And here's the thing. He has given it to us to know other believers, to those who also rejoice to hear him preached. Oh, you know. Those in Macedonia and Achaia, Macedonia and Achaia and Princeton and Shady Spring and Beckley and Cottageville and Rocky Mount and Cherokee and all other places where Jesus Christ is preached, where the name of Christ is known, they also rejoice that Christ is preached. Because all believers are a member of the family of God in Christ Jesus. So the title of this message, Paul, it's a question. Does the gospel come in power to you? Now, let me be clear. I'm not asking, has the gospel come in power to you? I'm asking you, does it? You understand? Because if it stops, it never started. Now, is that too hard? Is that too hard? I don't think so. Does the entrance of his word, still today, give you light and understanding? Believers, continue. What did Christ say? If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Indeed. Back to Psalms 119 for just a second here. It says, order my steps. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Understand? It's continual, continual, continual. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, this place. Lord, help us to continue. Make us to walk in thy paths. Order our steps and have us delight in them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be with Walter and Paul as they come to preach your gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.